We do really good in prison ministry. We do really good in hospital ministry. We have, I think, 8 deacons in the homeless shelters. We're working hard in some specialized ministries, including Unbound and the divorce ministry. One of the areas I think we could do a lot better in is with veterans. Being a veteran myself, I know some of the issues that can come along with being a vet, especially being in a war condition or a war situation. So, you know, this has been on my mind a lot and in my heart. And then I get on the radio and I listen to this guy and he's talking about this peace memorial or peace wall or freedom wall. And the Valentine's letters for veterans at the hospitals and, you know, what all they're doing with the veterans in Denver and how they're bringing life back to some of these veterans, to some of their, some of what he's done on his radio station. And so I called Rick Crandall up and asked him if he would help us out to kind of get going on the veterans initiatives and see where the needs are and see what needs to be done. So he sent me an email. I said, sure, let's do this. Let's look at it. So I said, can you talk to the deacons about some of the issues that are in the veterans community and what maybe where some spirituality, the spiritual element of the veterans could help? And as we saw in the RISE program, it's you don't really, and even the archbishop's talk, you don't heal unless you bring God into the relationship. So I'd like to introduce you to Rick Crandall, who's a DJ on 1430 radio, oldies. So, and I do love to listen to the oldies in the morning when I'm going to work. So, but I also love listening to him as he talks about all the programs that are going on with the vets in Colorado. So please welcome Rick Crandall.
Thank you very much, and I was a bit concerned because inviting a radio guy to speak anywhere is inviting, a good 2-3 hour talk, but Ernie used half my time, so you guys are in luck, so we're all good. Thank you, Ernie. So I did get that email from Joe saying, I'm a veteran, and what could we do? How many of you in this room are veterans? How many have military service? A good number of you have served. Thank you. I'm going to do this the radio way. And how many of you retired from military service, served a full 20, and a good number as well? Okay, as I would have expected. So when we began to talk, I will tell you, I guess I should introduce myself. I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran, served 6 years, 76 to 1982. I'm the program director and morning show host at AM 1430. The majority of you in this room are still familiar with AM radio, so I'm in good company here. There are many places I go, they need an explanation of that. And I'm president and founder of the Colorado Freedom Memorial, and an affiliate professor up at Regis University, where we have a center called the Center for the Study of War Experience, and where for over 20 years we have been teaching a course called Stories from Wartime, which annually for the last 12 to 13 years has been selected the top elective course. It's offered to juniors. It's a junior seminar. It is the number one rated elective course at Regis University, where for several weeks I moderate discussions with veterans sharing their war experience to students who have no understanding of it, largely. So for them, they will say in course reviews at the end of the year, this was life-changing for me. I had not had this experience in my life, and I can't tell you how grateful I am that you introduced me to it, and I understand now what that old guy standing in front of me at the checkout line at the grocery store counting out his loose change, what his life experience was. So that's my background and why Joe was compelled to give me a call. Here are some things you should know about Colorado's veterans. I'll come over here where I can see it a little easier. We have a total population in Colorado of 440,000 veterans, a combination of active duty and those who are retired and lived here. The Colorado National Guard makes up 5,600 of that, 1,600 who fly the F-16s, who are in the Colorado Air Guard, and 4,000 who are in the Army Guard. 7.3% of U.S. adults have served in the military. 7.3% of our total U.S. population has served at one point or another in their life. And as you can see, America's veterans are a gray-haired group. More than half of America's living veterans are older than 65. And that number has its roots deep in the Vietnam War. Less than, what does it say there? One veteran in 10 is younger than 35. We know we've been fighting now 18 years, the wars of Iraq and Afghanistan, the global war on terror since 9/11, but we have been fighting that war with a much smaller force. Why technology? We use drones now when we used to use humans before, right? We fire from long distances and engage the enemy with weapons that are pretty terrifying, that we launch from sea-based ships that fire inland, so we use it with far fewer numbers. Just 3.5 million of America's veterans were part of the post 9/11 force. That's 3 million fewer than the total living Vietnam veterans, which are 6.5 million. So that's who our veterans are. Where is the need for assistance? And this was how Joe and I started our conversation. I said, well, what is it you're trying to do? What is your thought? What is your idea? What do we need to serve? You know, HUD estimates there are just over 1,000 homeless veterans in Colorado. You know well, Samaritan House, Denver Rescue Mission, there are others who assist the needs of the homeless. That number has been declining for several years now of homeless veterans. We, as a nation, got a little energized about that and got behind it. 6.4% of Colorado's veterans live in poverty. There are programs that seek them out and try to assist them. 3.2% of Colorado's veterans are unemployed. 3.5% for a state as a general population, only and 3.2% of veterans. VA attempts to assist them. 21.6% of Colorado's veterans have a service-connected disability. It's a big number. The VA provides some care, although it sometimes takes longer than seems necessary, and Medicaid and Medicare assist. So as we talked and as we had this conversation, Joe and I, he said, well, Rick, what's our opportunity? And I said, well, I don't mean to tell you what you should do or where I think the opportunity is, but let me. Faith. What's missing is faith. And importantly, forgiveness. And this I know from my own life experience since I joined the radio station. Private George T. Sicato, you may have heard that name. He was from Brighton. He was a mailman for many years. George was a proud member of the 442nd Gopher Broke Regiment. After Pearl Harbor, his family was forced to leave their grocery store in their home in California and move inland. They ended up in Arizona at a cantaloupe farm where they lived detained, as you all know the story, until the end of the war. George said, I'm going to prove I'm as American as anybody and joined the military and became a member of the 442nd, which was the Gopher Broke Regiment. The least likely soldier you'll ever know, he'll tell you, he was the worst machine gunner that there was in the military. He couldn't hold it right and do it. He had to hold it sideways and go this way because his little body wouldn't let him do anything else. But one day in France, he became overcome with rage when his best friend was shot and died in his arms. And his heroic action from that point on should have immediately awarded him the Medal of Honor, but it wasn't until President Clinton awarded the Medal of Honor to many men from the Gopher Broke, the 442nd, that Joe received his Medal of Honor. He was called and asked to come to the White House to attend the service, and he said, "Well, that's nice. My family would like to come too." And they said, "No, we only have room for the two of you." And he said, "Well, then just mail it to me," and hung up. He got a call back a short time later, and they said, "Okay, bring all of them." So that was Joe, who became one of the dearest, most important men in my life. I learned more from Joe Sicato until the day he died about prejudice, about overcoming those things in one's life, about how it's hidden and how to see it. And I learned more from him that on the day we dedicated the Colorado Freedom Memorial, Joe walked with me to lay a wreath at the panels that honored the World War II veterans from Colorado. And we walked arm in arm away from there, and we're laughing in this photo. We were going past a rifle company, and he looked at the rifles and said, "Man, those rifles are old." And I looked at Joe and said, "Joe, you're old." And he thought that was quite humorous, and we laughed our way through. George Sicato, before he died, in the 3 months up to his death, as I spent time with him, began to wonder about the German soldier, the last soldier he killed, who he actually only wounded, and then listened through the night as night fell where they were on that hillside, and listened to the German soldier crying and calling for his mother, and then ultimately at some point in the night detonating a grenade and taking his own life. And in his last months, Joe wondered about that soldier, not those that served with him, that soldier, and that soldier's family. And Joe was wondering what he was facing as he passed, and would what he had to have done, what he did in war, keep him from reuniting with his beautiful Bess and the Lord. Young men and women in battle do things and see things that 18 and 19 and 20-year-old kids should never have to see or do, and yet try to make right in their mind with the Lord. It's something that I have learned. I have seen it repeated time and again in eyes of veterans late in their lives. You know, I work in an old radio station. When I first started there 28 years ago, we played big band music, and we played a lot, right? And we played a lot of Sinatra and Nat Cole. We're back to the Sinatra and Nat Cole, by the way. If you want a really cool radio station, you should listen. I have staff out turning all your car radios to it right now. So I have, in effect, in some way, escorted that World War II generation to their final rest, right? I've been the guy. I mean, they've connected with me because of what we were playing, guys like George, and I have seen it repeated in their eyes as they've come to the end of their life. Things that they've never told their family. Many of you know that. You know World War II veterans and Vietnam veterans and others who went and served and came home and have not spoken a word of it to you. I always encourage them, just write it down. Your family deserves to know what you suffered and went through. Write it down. If you can't tell them, let them discover it after you're gone, but write it down. I was in Normandy, France, Memorial Day, May 25th, 2000, doing a live broadcast of my radio show back to Denver from the American Cemetery at Omaha Beach. That very opening scene of Saving Private Ryan, where he's at the grave of Captain Miller, which, by the way, when Steven Spielberg went there to scout the location, they were told they could only shoot from the backs of the headstones, not the front where the names are. It's a policy of the American Battle Monuments Commission. So they walked through from behind all of them, and they picked one out, and they said, "That's the perfect scene." And they went and walked around the front, and it was the grave of Captain Miller, which was the name of the guy in the movie. And Spielberg said, we all just kind of stood there and said, well, we must be doing something right. But that was, in 2000, my opportunity to be there to broadcast to the United States, to Denver from there. And in doing research, we discovered there are 88 Coloradans who were buried there, 12 on the memorial wall of the missing. And all told, in the 26 American military cemeteries overseas, where World War I and World War II veterans are buried predominantly, 2,600 Coloradans lie there. 2,600. And I was struck with something, a thought that day. These were really young people who gave their lives very far from home and never got back home. And I said to the director of the cemetery, how many of these young men have had visitors from home? And they estimated at about 20%. I mean, this was a time, World War I, World War II, when there was no money for travel to Europe. That's why families had them buried there to begin with. There was a choice. They could have asked to have them returned home or buried on the battlefields. They couldn't have afforded funerals at home for their fallen. They left them with those they had served with and then wondered about them the rest of their lives, parents and grandparents, right? So here I was, knowing that I was at a place from home. We put Colorado flags on each of the 88 graves there that day. People started going to the visitor center saying, "What's so special about Colorado?" And at the visitor center, they were saying, somebody from Colorado cared. So there you go. So on the way home, I kept thinking this. I could not let this idea go that we needed some way to remember them here. And the idea of the Colorado Freedom Memorial was born in my little head. And my wife agreed to let me pursue this project, fully believing that I would no more have the patience to follow through with this than most anything else in her life. So she said, yeah, sure. 12 years it took to raise $1 million to build this beautiful memorial that's located in Aurora. And on its 24 glass panels are the names of 6,218 Coloradans who have given their life in military service since we became a state, from the Spanish-American War through today. Okay. But God was inviting me to do this to learn something else. God was inviting me to do this to learn that those same veterans like George Sicato, who I was seeing at the end of his life, wondering if what he had done had been so offensive to God, he wouldn't be invited to heaven. Now, here at the Freedom Memorial, I was to see the families and those that served with the fallen as they began to come to the memorial and see in their own eyes, why did I live and they didn't? What is it that I need to do to live in honor of that sacrifice? And for families who come there believing that this is proof that it did mean something, right? So the Colorado Freedom Memorial is the first place I'm taking Joe when he gets that sling off. He's got that lame excuse of, oh, I've got a sling, right? So, actually, it was a blizzard that kept us away the first time we tried to go. And next to the memorial we just unveiled last year, this piece called Home's Embrace. Those 26 cemeteries I told you about, Coloradans are buried in 21 of them. The 21 they're buried in are in 8 foreign countries. 2 years ago, working with the American Battle Monuments Commission, we set out to bring soil home from each of those 8 countries from a representative cemetery to symbolically return soil to soil, fallen to home. We raised $50,000 to buy Colorado rose red granite. It's unique to Colorado. You can't find it anywhere else. And in each of the 8 cemeteries, which are located in England, France, Italy, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, the Philippines, Belgium, and North Africa, the superintendents of those cemeteries found a reflective grave, an important grave, they felt, to Colorado. From the Meuse-Argonne in France, they brought soil. They sent us soil directly from the grave of John Buckley, for whom Buckley Air Force Base is named after. From the Luxembourg, they sent us soil from a spoon of soil from each of the 47 graves of every Coloradan buried at that Luxembourg cemetery. In Florence, they flew a drone as they were taking soil for us, and they went to the 10th Mountain Division section, the famed fighters from Camp Hale and Tennessee Pass in the Colorado Mountains, and they sent us soil from there. And on it went that each of them found places that were special. And we brought the soil home, and at the base of this monument, we interred the soil. We mixed at a ceremony last Memorial Day, soil from those graves and from those places into soil from Colorado. And we call this Home's Embrace. And what we were able to do, we believe, for some who will never go there, give them a place where they could touch and be closer, right? So this is all me getting us to this point. So when Joe said, what do we do? What initiatives could we embrace? And I said, to me, it seems faith. This is a difficult challenge. These are the lessons I have learned. I don't have a doctorate in this. I have the school of experience that tells me this, that the most difficult challenge is finding those in your parish. Not, you won't be hard to find who the veterans are. It will be hard to get them past that, to forge that relationship with them, men and women who keep their experience very close still. Even the younger generations do that, which is part and parcel of why we're losing 20 a day to suicide. The big announcement last year, all right, we've dropped the suicide rate from 22 a day to 20. What? We're not there. And then create an opportunity. They're sitting in the pews. They're afraid, I'm telling you. They want that relationship. They want to be invited. They want nothing more than to go to confession, to have that moment when they can get all of this out. But they need somebody to guide them through it that they think they can trust. Somebody that's not going to leave them, because that's happened too many times in their life. Measure your pace. You don't do this fast. This is a seed you plant, and come back and check on the plant every now and then and see how it's growing. Keep it exclusive. I will tell you my experience with veterans. Some of you here may have had other experiences. I don't believe so. First off, veteran service organizations, and there are many, are very territorial. Excuse me for being so descriptive, but they're like cats peeing on their turf. They very much demark what is theirs, and they don't often mix and mingle well. Well, this is what we do, right? So veterans, and that's very much representative of how veterans are as a group. They want to feel, so if they, in your church, if you decide, and Joe and I will be following up on some things, if you decide you want to pursue some kind of a veterans ministry, it needs to be exclusive to veterans inside. I mean, if you want to do something, say you have a veterans mass. Once a month, we're going to have a mass that's going to be for veterans. You invite them to come, and you design a service and have a homily that's directed to them. Now, if afterwards some parishioners want to do something to thank them for their service and make them to start to break down the walls to invite them into the parish, that's okay. Otherwise, keep it exclusive. Leave spaces. Teach them something, and then give them some room. Introduce them to something, and then let them swallow it and take it in. Assure them that Christ has always been with them. And it gets hard at that point, because a sniper who has been in the desert in Iraq, killing the enemy from great distances and doing it for a great length of time, will say to you, where was Christ in that? So be prepared for things like that. Include family. This is not just a veteran service. This is the family service. For many of these men, it is the wife who lays awake at night next to them and listens to their nightmares, who listens to their... There is a Korean War veteran who I am very close with, Bill, who at the age now of 85 years old still wakes up every night in night sweats and is back in Korea loading body bags onto a helicopter and seeing blank stares from veterans who have passed. He's 85. He has never left that war. And he's been married the entire time, so she has never left that war. Include families. And then I put Veterans Day 2019 on there just as a little something to add to this, as a kind of a target date for perhaps an opportunity. You know, there are 64 counties in Colorado, you know that. On our Freedom Memorial, we honor fallen veterans from all 64 of those counties. We have lost people from all of the counties of Colorado. And I would suspect that probably two-thirds, maybe higher, have never heard of the Freedom Memorial or this place of healing that we have right here. Ernie mentioned the Vietnam Memorial, which is beautiful. We have this memorial here at home, which we think is equally as beautiful and certainly meaningful to the folks from Colorado, right? We can get back to it. It's a stunning place when you go out and see it. It's in Aurora. It's right by Buckley Air Force Base. Take 6th Avenue out till you think you're in Kansas, and it's right across from Buckley Air Force Base. And we have now retirement ceremonies there. We have military pinning ceremonies there. We have school trips, field trips, by the busloads out there now. We have senior groups that come, and three times a year we have special ceremonies that we put together, including Memorial Day weekend, where we do pretty respectful things. We have retired a military Marine working dog there, who was the dog that David Sonka trained on before he was killed in Afghanistan, and his name is on the memorial. He was the first Coloradan killed after we built the memorial. We've become close with his family, and they chose to retire the dog from service there at the Freedom Memorial and give it to his widow. And it was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. We've had a wedding out there, which we didn't know about till after it happened, and I'm okay with that because that seemed kind of weird to me, but, you know, they both served together in Iraq and thought this would be a good place to get married. Okay, I'm all good with that. But I'm going to show you on this final, there. There's my cell number, which is attached to me like an appendage. I'll leave that up there for a while. My email address and the Freedom Memorial's website. Think about how you might, if you might, wish to try to connect with veterans, or if you want to just start an online discussion about veterans and what's important to them and how you might reach them in your parishes. I'd be happy just to chat with you, share some ideas with you anytime. Feel free to call me. I'm on the air in the morning from 6 to noon, but I will give you a secret. The 9 to noon part is always pre-recorded, so if you call me after 9, it's fine in the morning. And I would love to chat with you about veterans and a veterans initiative. This is, you want to talk about brand new, holy smokes. We've just talked about this for a couple months now before Joe had surgery, and we're still kind of finding our way and praying for guidance and looking for some markers that tell us we're on the right way. We're going to go tour the memorial here soon. We have had some discussion about at some point during the year, maybe it's not this year but next, having an open-air mass at the Freedom Memorial. We can easily put about 3,000 people out there on the grounds of the memorial, so it'd be a beautiful place for it. We've had just some initial thoughts about that. And then next year is the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II. It has actually begun this week, just a day ago, with the 75th anniversary of the assault at Iwo Jima, right? And the Marines, in fact, it was on this day in 1944 that the Marines raised the flag at Iwo Jima and Joe Rosenthal took that famous picture. So we're beginning a 75th year cycle now that will go through the 75th anniversary of D-Day in June. and then towards the 75th anniversary. And next year at the memorial, on Memorial Day weekend, we are going to have the state's tribute to the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II, and have invited all at that time remaining living World War II veterans to join us out there to be honored. So some of the stuff going on out there. Questions quickly? No? You guys just want to, oh, by the way, I bring you news. The roads are fine now. You guys planned this perfectly. They're clear, and you're at home, your families have shoveled your sidewalks, you guys have it made. I've been home schlepping snow all day. You guys are eating Oreo Cheerios and Fruit Loops. And my phone number, most of you that can't see it because your eyes are like mine, it's 303, my cell number, 919-0543. Yeah, of course. Email is littlercrc1430@entirelytooexpensivecomcast.net. No, just comcast.net. rc1430@comcast.net. Thanks for a little bit of your time today. I appreciate it very much. This was waiting for us at the memorial last week. We get mementos and things left there all the time now. At Christmas time, we have two spruce trees on the grounds out there, and people come and hang family Christmas ornaments that their veteran used to leave. Oftentimes, we get symbols of faith that are left out there. We know it's important. We know we need to connect with it, and perhaps together we can be on that journey. So thank you very much. All right, I'll leave you now.